Today's shir is Masecht Be'ah Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Amar Shmuel, Chayis Moshe B'Karka. If there are openings to different types of pits or caves that are attached to the ground, the halacha is matter. One may open up, untie those knots. Avloy Mafkia, he can't unravel the knot. Nor may he cut the knot. And the reason is because that's considered stira. So if you're only opening up the knot, that's called just opening up a knot. And opening up a knot is not usur. However, when you're unraveling them or cutting them, that's considered an act of stira. And as we discussed in our previous year, stira may not be done on yontif. The Kabban Sanal quotes the Marshal that if somebody has a pair of shoes that are tied together, even though they were done professionally, apparently when they used to buy shoes, what they used to do was that the person who made the shoes would tie them together, and then when you purchased them and you were ready to wear them, you would untie them. Says the Kabban Sanal, quoting the Marshal, that may be done on Yontif. Because since that's not a knot that's meant to be kept permanently, only a knot that's meant to be kept permanently would be an issue. This, obviously, you can't wear shoes that way, is not a problem. Shebekalim, but if you have something, a seal on top of a keli, there, matam mafki of a chaytech, you can do it in any fashion you want. Echad b'shavus v'echad b'yontif, both on shavus and yontif. And the reason is, because as we've discussed many times, this opinion follows the opinion of ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. There's only a problem binyan v'stira on something attached to the ground, not with a keli. Ask the Gemara, meisvei, it said in the Braisa, Chosm Shabakarka, a seal that's on top of something that's in the ground, Bishabis Mata Veloy Mafki Veloy Chaytach, beyond of Mater Umafki of Chaytach. So we see that since untying this type of a seal on something that's attached to the ground is not considered Stirim Medaraisa, so as we keep on discussing in our Shiurim, the halacha is that on Yontif, because of Simchas Yontif, because of Eichel Nefesh, we could be more lenient. So the question that the Tzlach asks, that here the Braisa is being lenient on Yontif with Matar Mafkiyah V'Chaytich. Yet in the Mishnah, we learned that Matar Mafkiyah V'Chaytich is not Mutar on Yontif. So the Tzlach says that in the Mishnah, there were two issues. One was Stira, and the other thing was that the Mishnah we spoke about, the bricks. And the bricks are, there's also a question of muksa. So when there are two isurim involved, both the isur of stira and the isur of muksa, even though they're both the rabbanon, even though it's yontif, the halacha is more machma. So we see from here that yontif, it is mutter. Answers the Gemara, Hamani. Whose opinion does this follow? It follows the opinion of Rameya that we discussed in our Mishnah in the previous year that says, "Apayschis l'chatchila v'noitel." Somebody who has a house that's sealed could open up the seal in order to get fruits in the house. Or pliga rabbanalei. But we learned in our Mishnah that the rabbanon disagree with Rameya and says the Gemara v'anad amik rabbanon, and I follow the opinion of rabbanon. Ask the Gemara. Do the Rabbanan disagree with Rameya even in this case? V'tanya, this is in the Brayas to teach us. The Chacham agree with Rameya when you have seals over something that's on the ground. Because since it's only Issa the Rabbanan, that's why the Rabbanan are going to be more lenient. So how can we say that the Rabbanan, how can we say that the Rabbanan are machmer, that this and the opinion that is l'chumra represents the opinion of the Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, who the Amr, the man the Amr that holds that even b'yontif would not let be mafkia v'choytich, kahay Tana, is following the following Tana. The Tanya, chayish shvekarka matir Avaloi mafkiv loy chaytich. Mafkiv a chaytich are not even mutter. Echad Shabbos v'echad yontif, both on Shabbos v'yontif. Shebe keli, if it's on a keli, b'Shabbos mati you could untie the chaysamis in a keli. Avaloi mafkiv loy chaytich. B'yontif mati v'af makiv mateich. So this price, it's very clear that chays mish shebe karka, even on yontif, we're not allowed to be mafkiv loy chaytich. Ask the Gemara, Teretz L'Chareisha. So with this Teretz, you've been able to explain Shmuel's opinion that says that Choysen Shabakarka will not be Mafkia V'Choytech, even in Yontif. But ask the Gemara, El Seifa, Shmuel said that the Choysen Shabakalim will allow to do whatever we need on Yontif and not in Shabbos. Kasha, because in the Brice it says that only on Yontif will allowed to be mafkiya v'chaytich, not on Shabbos, whereas Shmuel's opinion was that we may even do so on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara. The Tanav the Brisa agrees that really, as far as the act of being mafkiya v'chaytich, there is no problem to do that neither on Shabbos and not on Yontif. But this Brisa is following Hamani, the opinion of Nechemya, that Rabbi Nechemya holds, Kola Kalim, any Kali, any Natalim El Dech Tashmishim. They could only be used for what they were designated to be used. And if there wasn't made for that purpose, it may not be used in that purpose. And therefore, Rabbi Nechemya will not allow us to move a knife for the purpose of cutting a knot, because that's not what a knife is made for. And Rabbeinu Tam says, well, knives are meant to be cut. So Rabbeinu Tam says, not only does it have to be used for the purpose that it's designated, but it has to be used for the designated use in the way it's used. So if you have a knife that the purpose of that knife is to be used for cutting food, and now you want to cut a knot with that knife, you would not be allowed to cut a knife with that knife, because that's not what that particular knife, that's not what that particular knife was made for. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Shmuel and says that Chesemes of a Kalim, we could do whatever we want, but Chesemes of a Karka, we have to be Machmer. And the Mishnah Brewer says that the same thing goes that fruits come together, tied together in some fashion. The halacha is that we could do whatever we need to cut that string or whatever to undo that knot. And the Chazon Ish explains, since the purpose of undoing that knot is not really to do the malacha of stira, all we're trying to do is be able to get to the food that we want to be able to eat. Since that's the entire goal, that we just want to get to the food that we want to eat, that's why we could be more makel. E asked the Gemara, if we're going to say that this brisa is machmer when it comes to cutting mafkiya machaita chesemes bekli, because we're following the opinion of Nechemya, who says that a knife may not be moved for that purpose. So if that's the case, my area Shabbos. Why does the Brisa only say that we're not allowed to do mafkiya v'chaytech those that are on Shabbos in a keli, chesem shav keli? If the concern is that you're not allowed to take the knife for that purpose, you should have the same halacha, afil yontav nami, or to apply on yontav as well. V'chi teima. And if we want to suggest that the reason the Brisa said that it's only usur on Shabbos, but it's not usur on Yontif, because the Shani Le Rav Nechemya, Rav Nechemya differentiates between Shvus Shabbos l'Shvus Yontif, and he's only machmer on Shabbos, but not on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Mi Shanyalei, is that true that Rabbi Nechemya makes that type of distinction? Ask the Gemara. V'tani chada, we learned in one brisa, Masikin Bekalim, one can take, one needs fuel for his oven. And of course, as the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Arab point out, we're talking about a case where this person doesn't have any other wood available. Because if you have regular firewood available, you can't use firewood for burning for fuel, it's considered bal tashchis. But here you have nothing else available, and you need to have a fire on Yontif. So Allah is masikin b'kelim. We could use kelim for firewood. They masikin b'shiver kelim, because if the keli broke on Yontif, so as we've discussed in previous shurim, we now have an isser noilad. Before Yontif, it was a whole keli. On a Yontif, it became a shiver kelim, and the Allah is that it's muksa. And from here, we see that that when muksa is osur, it's even osur bahano, because maybe we could use it without moving it, but the Magen Avraham says the muksa is osur bahano. And moreover, points out the Magen Avraham, when we're going to take that whole keli and use it for firewood, as it starts to burn, it's going to start to disintegrate. It's going to become a sheva keli. It's going to become noilid. It's going to become muksa. Says the Magen Avraham, since when I put it into the fire, it wasn't muksa. When I put it into the fire, it was a whole keli. What's going to happen afterwards is immaterial. The Beis HaLevi disagrees. And the Beis HaLevi says the muksa is mutar b'hanah. Here, it's not just a regular hanah. This is a hanah of burning it. Of burning it is an act of you going and taking that muksa object and burning it. That's more chomer than just having a nor from muksa without doing something. Continues Gemara. B'tanya idach, yet we learned in another brisa, mesikim bein b'kelim bein b'shiver kelim. We could use both kelim and shiver kelim to make a fire. And then, says the Gemara, we learned a third brisa. B'tanya idach, and the third brisa teaches us, ei mesikim loy b'kelim v'loy b'shiver kelim. You can't use anything. How do we reconcile all these three brises? This is a Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Dalar Amabez. Says the Gemara, ha, the first brisa is following the opinion of Yehuda that holds that Noilid is also betiltal. So therefore, when you have a Kli Sholem, when you have a whole Keli, so there's no issue of Noilid, and that's why it may be moved. When it's broke on Yontif, it became Muksa because of Noilid. And once it becomes muksa for noilid, that's why it can't be moved. And Rashi makes a very beautiful point. Rashi says, people are typically going to use a broken keli more likely to use it for burning than a whole keli. Yet here we have a situation that we're allowing you to use the whole keli for burning and not allow you to use the broken keli. So Rashi explains, because that's how we have to understand hilchas muksa. Muksa may not be moved. Ha, the second brisa that says that you could use Beim Kalim Mishem, Beim Shiver Kalim, represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, who we keep on repeating in our shurim. Reb Shimon's opinion is very lenient when it comes to Hilchas Muksa. Ha, the third brisa that you can move a Kali only for its designated purpose represents the opinion of Reb Nechemya. And therefore, even though you have a keli sholem, and certainly a keli sholem, a whole keli, is not muksa, but Reb Nechemya's opinion is that you're not allowed to move it only for its designated purpose. So the question now comes back. If we're saying that the braisa that doesn't allow us to cut the string around the chesemis around the keli is because we can't use a knife that's not meant for that purpose, because we're following the opinion of Nechemya, so then that halacha ought to not the opinion, not to, that halacha ought to be not only on Shabbos, that halacha ought to be on Yontif. Yet the Braisa says that it's only also to do on Shabbos, not on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Trei Tanoi V'Liv Rav Nechemya. There's a machloikis Rav Nechemya. Why does Reb Nechemya agree that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif or not? Our Braisa holds, or Reb Nechemya holds, that there is a difference between Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore you're allowed to be mafkiyah v'choytich on Yontif and not on Shabbos. The Braisa that we just quoted from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that Reb Nechemya doesn't differentiate between Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore that Braisa would hold that you're not allowed to use the keli on Shabbos even for that purpose either. Says the Mishnah, the way they used to make a candle was they would take a bowl, a piece of earthenware, and they would dig out a hole in it. And the Mishnah teaches us, that may not be done on Yontif, doing this involves making a keli. And there's many opinions in the Rishonim why this is asur. Rashi explains that you first take this bowl of earth, of clay, and then you dig out a hole in it. And the halacha Rashi says that that's what's not mutter, makabah patish, you're making it into a keli. The Tosfos explains that what they used to do, that when they made different types of ovens, they used to put different types of earthenware into it, that it should prevent it from collapsing. And the halacha is that taking out that earthenware from the oven that you just made is considered makabah patish, you're making it into a keli. The Ran explains that this involves, they used to have a lid on the keli, and putting a lid, making a lid for your keli is considered makabah patish. And the Rambam learns that they used to make these types of candles in pairs, and they were connected to each other, and disconnecting them one from the other is called makabah patish, may not be done in Yontif. They also become Yontif. One may not make charcoal on Yontif. Rashi explains that charcoal was used by the goldsmiths, and since charcoal was used by the goldsmith, that too is considered making a keli. The Ra explains that it's maris ayin. Usually, when you have this type of a keli, the goldsmith who does this for his profession, so it's maris ayin as if he's working on Yontif. And the Ran explains that the Isser is because of Mechaba. When they made it, they first used to use fire and then extinguish the fire, and extinguishing fire is also a Yontif. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Vein choitchim es apsila. One may not cut a wick into two because he's making the wick usable. And therefore, says the Yam Shoshloima, you're only not allowed to use a scissor or a knife to cut the wick into two. But if you're going to tear it, it's mutter, and that's the psak of the Bi'a Halacha, that since you're doing it that way, that's not the way it's normally done. So it's considered tikkun kalach yad, and as we've learned many times, when it's done not in the usual fashion, it's mutter. Rav Yehuda says, choyt chiba'or, we could use fire to cut the wick into two. So our Mishnah just taught us that one is not allowed to make a keli on Yontif. I saw that the Poskim discuss that it's very common that people who light oil on Yontif, they use these floating wicks. And the way they make the floating wicks is they put the wick into the floating pot, and there's a hole that you stick the wick into. And the question is that considered tikkun mana? You're making it into a wick. You're making it into a candle, into a wick. Is that also or not? The Shmir Shabbos Kachosoy is machmer. He says that one should not make it in Yontif. He does quote Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Sitzal, who says, but the Evid, maybe that's not the main part of the candle. The main part of the candle is the glass that holds the oil, and therefore maybe b'di'evid one should be makel, could be makel. And in fact, the opinion of Rav Ozan Zatzal and the Shas Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chelik Tes, Simon Kuf Chav Ches, says that your candle that you want to light is not really usable by just having that wick in the floating part. You have to put it into the cup with the oil, and that's why he says that's not called making a keli, that we just learned in our Mishnah, one may not make a keli on Yontif. So, as we said, the way they used to make the candle, according to Rashi, is that you had a bowl of clay, and you used to form a hole in it. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that says, doing something like that, Pchisas Ner, forming that hole, Manahu, is considered like you're making a keli, and therefore may not be done on Yontif. Amar Rav Yosef, Remehi. It represents the opinion of Remehi, the Tanya we learned on a Braisa. Klicheris M'emusai Mekabel Tuma. At what point a Klicheris is never Mekabel Tuma unless it's a keli? And of course, we always explain that the definition of a keli is it has a base kibble. It has something that a receptacle. So at what point is a kli cheres considered a keli. That is that when it has this hole formed in it. Rav Shua says that it has to be put into the furnace to be hardened. So our Mishnah that says that making the hole in the bowl of clay is considered making a keli is following the opinion of Rameya. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rameya, to Rabbi Yosef, Mamai, what forces you to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya? Dilma, Atan Lekam Rameya Hasam. Rameya said that regarding Hilchas Kabbalas Tumah, Ella, by a big bowl of clay, big bowl of keli, that even though it wasn't hardened by putting it into the furnace, as soon as you formed it, that's going to be a keli. The chazal kabuli midi, because it's big enough to hold something. Aval hachop, here where we're speaking about a small ball of clay, lemai chazi, just forming a hole in it is really not making it into a keli, and therefore he'll hold in our Mishnah that it's not considered a keli. It says the Gemara, even though it's a very small ball of keli, of clay, it still can be used the kabule bepshita. Since it can be held coins, you don't need such a small, and the shita points out, it doesn't mean dafka's coins. It could hold small things. Therefore, even Rameya, following his opinion, will hold that it's a keli. Ikadamri, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddiki. Who is the Tan of our Mishnah that says as soon as you form a hole into it, it's considered a keli? It's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us from Masechta Idyos, Perek Beis Mishnah Hey, Alfasin Charonius. They used to have these plates that they used to put out, that they used to eat on them, and they used to form them into a plate and then put them into the furnace. Tahiris. When oil mace, the namakabal tumah when they're in oil mace, because as we learned, the tumas oil mace only applies when something has a toich, only when something has a receptacle. These are flat plates, and since they're flat plates, they're not makabal tumah. But tumas v'magazov, that if a zov touched them, the halach is anything that the zov touches or anything that the zov moves, even though it doesn't have a receptacle, it's enough of a keli to be mekabel tumas maga. His opinion is that they're not considered a keli until they have a receptacle. But we see from here that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef, once it does have a receptacle, it's going to be considered a keli, even though it wasn't hardened in the furnace. And that's why in our Mishnah as well, as soon as you make that receptacle, it's considered that you did makom patish. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Dilma, at kan lekam Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik asam. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said that Ella the chazal kabul midi, something that's used, that can be used to hold something, avahacha, by the candle, the halacha is, the reality is, until it's hardened in the furnace, l'may chazi, it's not usable. And therefore, it could be that he would agree that just forming it is not going to make it in a keli. To which the Gemara says, no, it is usable. It's usable, l'kabule pshita. You could put coins in it. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik will hold it's a keli. And that's why our Mishnah said, you may not do it on Yontif. Tanra Bonon. Says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, ein peiches in es aner. We're not allowed to form the inside of this candle. Ve'en oisin chalfen charonios. We're not allowed to make these flat plates. B'yontif. In all these cases, that's considered making a keli, makke bepatish. Rav Shimon alaz amater, b'alfasin charonios. Ask the Gemara, my charonios, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, aronios. Ask the Gemara, and now what does that mean? My aronios. Says the Gemara, Amar Baya Tzoy Chal Kliyosei. These are plates that were used to be put out by the people on the villages that weren't so careful about their using nice plates. And therefore, these people, this is enough of a plate for them. And since it's enough of a plate for them, it's considered a keli, and it may not be made in Yontif, Makabapatish. We learned further in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to make coal on Yontif. Ask the Gemara Pshita, my chazi, what could you use coal on Yontif? What permissible use can you have from coal on Yontif? Answers the Gemara, Tanav Chila Nitzcha Elamoysen L'Rayan, to give it to the bathhouse attendants, L'Boy B'Yoyim, that want to use it to warm up the bathhouse on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, U'Boy B'Yoyim Mishari, are you allowed to warm up the bathhouse on Yontif? Isn't there a gzeira that you're not allowed to go to the bathhouse on Yontif, even if the water was warmed up from before Yontif? Says the Gemara, Kad Amar Rava, just like the Gemara asks this question elsewhere in Masechta Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara says it's lahazia that somebody went into the bathhouse to perspire. Kaidim gzeira, before they made a gzeira that you're not allowed to go into the bathhouse, even for that purpose. Hachanami, here too, we're going to explain that this braisa is referring to a situation that they're using the coals lahazia kaidim gzeira. Because the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, gives us the history. Originally, they used to wash themselves on Shabbos and Yontif with water that was warmed up before Shabbos and Yontif. However, says the Gemara, Mishuraba Oiver Aveira, that there were people that acted improperly, and what they used to do was they used to warm up the water on Shabbos and Yontif and say that they warmed it up from before Shabbos and Yontif. They said, you're not allowed to take a bath in Yontif. But they were still allowing to take a zeya, perspiration. And the reason they were more lenient with perspiration than with a bath was in those days, perspiring on a regular basis was something that was considered davar shavel chol nefesh. Everybody needed it on a regular basis. Whereas washing oneself every day was something that was done only by the mufunakim, by delicate people. And that's why they were more lenient lazia than for washing. However, that Chazal saw that there were people that were going into the bathhouse to wash themselves. But we know, as we just learned, that you're not supposed to wash yourselves. So they would used to say they're going in just lahazor. But they still allowed one to wash himself on Chamei Tveria. Because Chamei Tveria obviously get heated up by themselves from the heat, not from any fire. When Chazal saw that people were even abusing that, and they were going to the regular bathhouse and saying that they went to the Chamei Tveria, they said that Chamei Tveria aren't usher, but ultimately they were lenient on the Chamei Tveria. But just in order to understand our Gemara is saying that the purpose of the coal is to warm up the bathhouse, lazia on Yontif, at the point that was still mutar. We learned in the Mishnah, Vein choyt chnas apsil l'shnayim. We're not allowed to cut a wick into two. Ask the Gemara, Maishnah b'sakin loy, why may we not use a knife for that purpose? To come a sakin mono. Because we're making this into a wick. Until now, it wasn't a wick, and now it's being turned into wick. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then ba'or nami come a sakin mono. So we shouldn't be allowed to do it with fire either. Answers the Gemara, when the Mishnah says that you could put it into and cut, where you could cut it with fire, it's b'fish day neres. What you do is you put the two wicks into two candles, and then you put a fire to light them. So you're not deliberately making wicks. What you're doing is that you're lighting your wick. By lighting your wick, your two wicks form, and since you're doing it that way, that's why it's mutter. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says that you can never cut a wick, but you can light the wick, and a part of the wick burns away because you lit the wick. That's fine. Amram Nosan Bar Abba Amarav. Moichten is a sila b'yontif. Ask the Mara, what does that mean? That moichten, we could do that with the wick on yontif. Amrav Chanina Bar Shalmiya, l'ruich ha-sheka. We could take sometimes a piece of coal fat forms on top of the wick, and it prevents us from being able to see to use the fire, the candle clearly. So in order to be able to use
the candle fine, that's mutter on Yontif, and it's not considered that you're making a keli on Yontif. Tani Bakaparo. Six halachas
was said regarding a wick. Shlosh lahachmer, and three they are chumra, and shlosh lahachmer, and three are kula. Ein lahachmer, what are the chumras? Ein goydlin, lechatchila b'yontif. One may not weave together, take different strands and weave them together, roll them together on yontif. That is considered a maisa of makba patish. And as the Rishonim point out, any type of forming of a wick, of making of a wick, is considered osur. Even though the Rishonim do point out that it might not ever be an issur d'oraisa, because a wick is not that long, so you may not have the shear of what's considered making a wick that's osur m'sach d'Shabbos, it still may not be done. Ve'im ha'havim ha'isai ba'or. Many times, when you have a wick, and you have strands of the thread that the wick is made out of sticking out, and you light it to get a nice straight wick, that may not be done on Yontif, because that too is considered Mesakim Mona. That we learned in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to cut into two. Cutting the wick, making one long wick into two, is considered making a keli. What are alokas lahakul? Says the Mishnah, Memacha b'biyad, that you're allowed to take the wick and bang and put it between your fingers to make it thinner. When it's thinner, it's easier to light. B'shoyer b'shemen, you're allowed to soak it in oil. The Rishonim point out, the Meiri says, that when you're allowed to press it with your fingers to thin it out, it's only if that's not what you do during the week. Because everything that we're speaking about doing on Yontif is only permissible if you're doing it with a shinui. But if this is the way you do it during the week, it's not a shinui, you will not be allowed to do it. And you're allowed to soak it in oil. And v'chayt chabaor, even though we learned that you're not allowed to cut it, you're not allowed to take the long wick and cut into two. You may use fire to cut into two. When it's ready, as we said a moment ago, b'fish teineris, already in two different candles. V'amarav nasim b'raba amarav. Asirei bovel. The wealthy people of bovel, you're the gehenim heim. They are going to go to gehenim. The reason they're going to gehenim is because they don't, as we're going to learn, they don't do chesed. So I saw that the Sefer told us, Yaakov asks, why does the Gemara call them Yordei Gehenim? They should be called Rishon. So he explains that Chazal teach us that Avram Avinu sits by the opening of Gehenim and says that doesn't let his children into Gehenim. Because as the Medrash teaches us, Avram Avinu chose that his children should go into Golis rather than go into Gehenim. So he says, my children are in Golis. So if my children are in Golis, they shouldn't go into Gehenim. However, if somebody, as we just are going to learn, doesn't do chesed, so Avraham Avinu says, that isn't my descendant. I was the paradigm of chesed. My descendants are Bali chesed. This person doesn't act that way, so I'm not going to try to get him out of Gehenim. So the Ben Yoyada also asks, what's pshat that the Gemara uses the words Yordei Gehenim Heim? What's the heim? So he says that anybody who does averus after he leaves the world, that he goes to Gehenim. But if somebody is poor, he has an excuse, he has a way out of Gehenim. By saying, I already had Gehenim in this world, so I don't have to go Gehenim in the next world. But a person who gets the people's support, even though he doesn't have money, will not have that excuse. So he says, in Bavel, the people didn't have Rachmanis on the rich, as we're about to learn, the wealthy people did not have Rachmanis on the poor people. And those people, therefore, will have a good excuse why not to go into Gehenim. So says the Gemara, those people, the wealthy people, you're the Gehenim Haim, they are going to go into Gehenim because of the way they behaved. The poor people, even if they didn't necessarily behave properly, but they already had Gehenim in this world. And that's why they won't have Gehenim in the next world. Only the wealthy people will have the Gehenim. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada suggests
is there are tzaddikim that go into Gehenim to help people. Of course, they don't deserve Gehenim, but they go into Gehenim to schlep out of the Gehenim people who are in the Gehenim. However, the tzaddikim are going to go to Gehenim and try to schlep out the people who they want to get out of Gehenim. However, the people who didn't have, who weren't Bali Chesed in this world, for them the tzaddikim won't go into Gehenim to schlep them out. Says the Gemara, what is the example, who is the example of that Sirei Bovel that are Yordei Gehenim Heim? Ki Hode Shapsi Bamrinis. Ikla Bovel. He came to Bovel, Ba'amine Iska. He wanted to do business. He wanted them to help him open a business. V'lo Yavle. They didn't help him open a business. Mezoini. So he asked for some food. Mezen Namile Zenu. They didn't give him any food either. Omer. Hani Me'er Rav Ka'asu. These people must be descendants of the Erev Rav. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says regarding Klal Yisrael, the Nosan L'cha Rachem V'richamecha V'rebecha Kishen Nishba L'avasecha. Kol HaMarachem El Abriyas, if you see somebody has the attribute, the personality of having Rachmanis, B'yudua Shumizarish L'Avram Avinu, it's clear that he's a descendant of Avram Avinu. However, Kol Mish En HaMarachem El Abriyas, if somebody doesn't act that way, B'yudua She'en Mizarish L'Avram Avinu, he's not one of those children. So the Ben Yoyada explains, what does the Gemara mean when it says Mezin Noilazinua? What's the lengthy lashon? So he says, this person who came to Bavel, Shapsi Bamaranis, was accustomed to eating nice big meals. So says the Gemara, not only that they did not give him a big meal, but even just a meager amount of food that they should have what to eat, also lois and nuo, they didn't give him. The Mashah explains, what does the Gemara mean when it says, Kom Racham Abris, B'yidu Shumizar Shal Avram Avinu? Because Avram Avinu, we know, was excelled in the Midah of Chesed. And not only did he excel in the Midah of Chesed, that's what he wanted his children to follow. The Pasuk says regarding Avram Avinu, Ki yedativ l'manashe tzavez bonav az beisei achrev v'shomru derech Hashem lasois tzedoku mishpat. And they didn't do, if somebody doesn't do what Avram Avinu told us to do, he's not from Zereshel Avram Avinu. The Ben Yoyada explains that Avram Avinu was the first person that we find in Tanakh, v'yita eshel, that he did everything to make chesed, and therefore, if you don't act that way, you're not following in the way of Avram Avinu. The Tanya explains that we know, the Mishnah says, that the personality of Klal Yisrael are the Rachmanim Goymel Chasodim. Why is that? Because we, unlike all the other nations of the world, who are under the control of different Malachim, we're under the direct control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu epitomizes chesed v'rachmim, so too, we who come directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu have ingrained in us the midah of chesed v'rachmim. The Sfas Emes explains, we say every day, Hamanig Olamai in our davening, Hamanig Olamai b'chesed uv'riyosav v'rachmim, that the entire world depends on chesed v'rachmim. The world also depends on the existence and success of Klal Yisrael. So if the world needs Rachmim, we need to be Baal Rachmim to keep the world going. If somebody needs to eat by someone else, he doesn't have the ability to eat on his own, the wife is bitter, black is dark for him. Shnemar, noiduhu lalechem, pasuk in Iyev, ayi yoda kinochem biyoda yoim choshech. Somebody who has to go from place to place to find what to eat, life to him is black. His life is not a life. So I saw the Posh Pshat. It's talking about a poor person who doesn't have the ability to support himself. The Chasam Sofer says that that isn't what Pshat in the Gemara is. He says Pshat Amitzab Shulchan Aruch Acherim means that he can't learn by himself. Somebody who is so weak,
in his ability to learn, there's always mitzapa al shulchan acherim. When it comes to learning, he could only learn when somebody else teaches him, and he never achieves the ability to learn by himself. The Bina Leitim says, now we could understand what Yosef said to his brother. Yosef said to his brother, Anochi achalkal aschem v'estapchem. Yosef guaranteed them that he'll support them. And then right away the Pasuk says, afterwards, v'inochem esav yidaba alibam. Why?
Because as soon as Yosef said, I'm going to support you, his brothers were very depressed, as we're learning in our Gemara. Somebody who relies on somebody else supporting him is depressed. And that's why v'inochem esav. And that's what he goes on to explain, happens every year by the Seder. We begin the Seder, we invite guests, and as soon as we invite the guests feel very bad that they don't have their own ability to eat. So we have to right away console them, and we say, Hashata Hochel Shana Babar Yisrael, Hashata Avdel Shana Babanei Chayrim, don't feel bad, this won't last for everybody. So the Ben Yoyada says, obviously, as we're learning, the pshat in the Gemara is that somebody is relying on somebody else to support him. So why does the Gemara use the words al shulchan acherim? He says, because you could have two situations with a poor person. You could have a situation where a poor person, there's a wealthy person who has guaranteed to support that person. And every day, he sends him food to his house. Sometimes you have a situation that the wealthy person has guaranteed to support the poor person by telling him, you come to my home every day and I'll give you my leftover food. Both of these people are not in a great place. But the person who not only needs to be supported by somebody else, but he has to go every day to that person's home to pick up the food, his leftovers, that is even worse. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, HaMetzapa al Shulchan Acherim. The Gemara said, Oilam Choshech Be'adoy. So the Tzlach explains what's the example of using that the world is dark. He says, there are two types of people who can't see. A person who's blind can't see. And then somebody is in a place which is pitch black, dark, and he can't see. He says, a person who's blind, unfortunately, cannot see. But at least what he can do is that we know that the senses of a person who is blind get stronger. So even though his sight has become weaker, his other senses become stronger. But somebody who is not able to see, somebody who is just in a place where it's absolutely dark, such a person, he doesn't get any benefit from not being able to see because none of his senses get stronger that way. The Miltstock explains that the Gemara says that somebody who's hungry loses his eyesight. And that's why, because he relies on other people, and he doesn't have what to eat, he's going to lose his eyesight. Another pshat that I saw is that if somebody eats at home, so he controls his meal and the amount of time that he needs to eat, and he could eat quicker and be able to go back to the Beis Medrash to learn. But somebody who's relying on other people for their meal, so he's dependent on their schedule, when they start, how long the meal takes, when the meal ends, and therefore he can't learn that much. And that's called Olam Chosh Be'adoy. Without having the opportunity to learn Torah, life is dark. There are three people whose lives aren't lives. Like we just discussed extensively, somebody who's relying on other people for food. Somebody whose wife is in control over him. Obviously, he doesn't have any the dependence. That means he has to rely on her pashup shat for support. He doesn't have any independent means of support, and therefore his wife could tell him whatever she wants, and he can't say anything back to him because she says to him, I'm supporting you. And therefore, he's lacking that menucha. And somebody who's lacking menucha, chayiv ein chayim, or mishi yisurim misham begufay, somebody rachman tzlon is a bal yisurim. And even explains the mashal, if he's able to control his yisurim, baruch Hashem, still that person, the yisurim, cause betel taira. And anything that causes betel taira, he can't learn is a life that's not worth living. Somebody only has one shirt, and therefore when he doesn't have a chance to wash it, and it gets dirty, and of course wearing a dirty shirt is extremely bothersome. Tanakama, and why doesn't the Tanakama include this in the list? He always has the ability to keep his clothing clean, and therefore, even though he doesn't have more than one suit, one shirt, he could make sure that it doesn't get dirty and he won't be bothered with it. Our Mishnah continues to discuss different things that are considered tikkun keli, that we've learned that we're not allowed to do anything that represents tikkun keli on Yontif. The way they used to roast things was they used to put the fish on a grill, and since the metal grill got very hot, there was a concern that the fish would burn. So they used to take earthenware or something else and soak it in water and put it under the fish on top of the grill, and that's how it would get properly roasted without burning. So says the Mishnah, Ain't shayvim sacheres. You're not allowed to break a piece of earthenware, nor may you cut a piece of paper, if your purpose is just to be able to roast the fish on top of it. And the reason is because of tikkun mona. And it's oichel nefesh. The answer, as we've learned many times, especially this is more in the category of machshirei oichel nefesh, anything that could have been done before yontif should not be done on Yontif. The Rambam says that the piece of paper that they used to put oil on it would prevent it from getting completely consumed, and that's why the fire did not completely burn that piece of paper, and you could use it for roasting on. En garfen tana v'karayim. If stones or plaster from the earthenware oven fell in, you're not allowed to clear them out. Av mechapshin. You could straighten them out that you should be able to put the food or the pot on top of it. You can't put two pots next to each other. To put a pot on top of that. Because doing that looks like you're making an oil. Two sides, two walls, and a roof. And making an oil, of course, is also on Yontif. If you have a pot that's not flat, straight, you can't use a piece of wood on the bottom for straightening it out, because the piece of wood is considered muksa. The king, the delis, one may not use a door for that purpose either. Veiman Higinus Behemoth Makel teaches us the Mishnah we're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick. Beyontif, Revelazar Shimon Matar. So we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, we're not allowed to break the earthenware or the piece of paper to roast the fish on top of it. Ask the Mamai Tama. Why is that not mutter? Because it's considered misakin min mona. You're making a keli that you should be able to use to roast on. And since, as we keep on say, making it, you could have made it before Yontif, another pshat that is that since this is going to be usable for a long time, doing anything that's going to be usable for a long time is mutter. We learned further in the Mishnah, Zain Garfin kind of a karayim. Says the Gemara, Tana Rav Chiba Yosef Kamei de Rav Nachman, Vimi Efsha Lefois. If it's impossible to bake Elm Kain Garfoy unless you clear it out, so then it falls into the category of Oichel Nefesh and it's Mutter. Says the Gemara, Vistra Rav Chiba Nafalai Richa Betanur B'Yom Toiva, some of the brick fell into a oven on Yontif. Amal Rav Chiba, Chazod Anar Rifta Me'ai Sabina. I want to have very well baked bread. And if this bread is going to touch these things, it's not going to be good. And therefore, maybe cleared out on Yontif. Amalei Ravel Shamei, Tveli Bar Avza, roast for me a goose Vizdar mecharucha, make sure that it doesn't get burnt. Make sure that there are no extraneous parts in the oven. And this is the shaila, that's a very relevant shaila, if we're allowed to extinguish a fire or lower a fire on yontif. So, for cooking purposes. So, the Magen Avraham says, if there's a large flame under a pot of food, which is causing the food to burn, one may not lower the flame unless he has no other option. That means, says the Magen Avraham, that if you could light another fire, mavir, lighting a fire, the tzorich eichel nefesh is mutter. So if the fire on which your food is sitting on yontif is too high, it's going to burn your food, according to the Magen Avraham, it's better to put on another flame. Again, we're not focused on the issue of electronic ignition. We're talking about whether that's not a concern. Rav Moshe disagrees. And Rav Moshe says that if somebody's food is in a fire and it's going to get burnt, if it's going to be left in such a long flame, says only if there's an existing smaller flame available at the time do you have to use the other flame. But if there is no existing smaller flame, one says, according to Rav Moshe, can lower the flame to avoid the food from getting burnt. You shouldn't extinguish it entirely. You should just make it lower. Amalei Rav Yehuda Ravashi. Amalei Rav Achel Mihutzah. Rav Achel from Mutzah told us, the Ma'a Shakon Leitarim B'yon Taiva. I heard that your home, they clean out the oven on Yontif. Amalei, Ano Arax the Prasim Chinen. We don't have to make any. We don't understand this, because in order to do this, you have to make cement. And making cement, you use to plaster your oven on yontif. How are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to plaster something on yontif. So he answered, Amalei Anana Raks the Prasim Chinan. We live in an area where the earth is like cement, and we don't have to make cement. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mili, this that you're allowed to take that earth that looks like cement and use it on yontif, is if Tzairi Me Esmoil. It was already designated that I'm going to use this earth on yontif, so I don't have a muksa concern. Amarvina, the kit mashari. We're allowed to use ash because ash is not something that could form into cement, and therefore there is no concern. We learned in the Mishnah, ve'emekifin shtei chuvius, we can't take two pots and put a third pot on top of them. Amarav Nachman, avonim shabes akisei, they used to use stones to clean themselves when they went to the bathroom. Mutal tzadadam, one could put them near each other beyond it. Esei Raveler of Nachman, we just learned in our Mishnah, Ei Makifin Shtei Chavyos, Lispis Aleim Kedeira. So why can we put the stones that are used in the bathroom next to each other? Amalei, Shani Hasum Shim the Ka'avad Ola. When you put the pot on top of the two other pots, it looks like an oil, a roof with two sides. But the stones of the Beis HaKisei are not formed that way, and therefore there isn't that concern. Amalei Rav Zuta L'Rav Ashi Elamat Bona Itzdaba. If somebody built something, the Loi Ovid Allah, which isn't built in a fashion that you have two sides and a top, would it be mutter on yontif because it's not an oil? Amalei Hosom Binyan Kava Asur Torah. The halacha is that on yontif you're not allowed to build a binyan kava. Binyan Aroi, but something that's not meant to be permanent, Loi Asur Torah. The Gazra Binyan Aroi, Mishim Binyan Kava. They said that even a binyan arai, Chazal said, should not be made on yontif, because we're concerned that you're going to make a binyan kava. For hocha, but when it comes to going to the bathroom, where there's a concept of kavod abrius, that one should be able to clean themselves, on that case, legozibar rabbanan.